And if you would repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I have ears to hear.
I have eyes to see.
And a heart that perceives.
You're about to talk to me.
Through your word. Amen. You know, there are times when God's plan and man's plan conflict, where we clash. And that's what this man is sharing. How many times did he say, no, I'm not up to it, I don't feel like it, whatever the feelings are. And are we on now?
Waiting feedback.
Okay. So, we're going to Romans chapter 4 towards the end. We're actually going to start with verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. There's a discussion going about before that. Well, I don't know. I put a new battery in.
Oh, you're on mute. Ta-da.
Oh. Well, how about that? Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, he's frozen again.
But I can hear you in the house. So
you can hear me now? Okay, so we're good. Okay, 17 says, that's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. Now, there's a discussion previous to that about Abraham and what he's going through. Then it says, he is our example and father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call unto being things that don't even exist yet. See, a lot of times we think faith is something different. But this is the perfect example. The item that doesn't exist yet, like the job for somebody I know, that doesn't exist yet, he already knows what it's going to be. So when you declare it, what are you doing? You're operating in a belief. If you don't believe he's capable of doing it, then you might as well shut your mouth. Or you'll end up criticizing and complaining. And you don't want to do that because you know the critics are dying. Okay? 18. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. His expectation was not, I hope he makes it. I hope he can do it. No. He expected God to fulfill it. Okay? He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. Now, what if he didn't have the ability to believe what God had told him? Then it would be canceled. You wouldn't have Abraham in a gifted place in your life. He wouldn't be the father of us all. So, God's declaration over him came to pass. So God declares and he speaks, it'll come to pass if you believe he can do it. I had a person not too long ago, because I made a comment, God's going to do this. Oh, baloney. Well, what is that? That's canceling the prayer. Mm-hmm. Amen? So, he said again, I want to repeat, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. Now you say, well, how does that work with you, Kim? Well, about 6 years or roughly 6 or 7 years ago, I had a urinary tract infection. How many of you have ever had a little problem down the bottom? The plumbing, and when it works, is wonderful. But you see, when you have an issue with your plumbing, it's going to backfire, and your body's going to pay a price. So I go to the specialist, and he gives me an antibiotic and all that good stuff. And he says, but you're going to have to catheterize. I said, what? He said, well, they had to put a catheter in you and empty you out and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you were holding an awful lot of fluid. I said, well, that part I knew because I was hurting. So I had an education with my father-in-law who had issues down there. So the doctor says, after he got done, gives me a prescription that I can go and get catheters. And of course, I need a lot because I need to do it 3 times a day. So I thought, well, you know, when the infection is done, it'll be over. Because now he gives me an appointment for like 10 days or 12 days or whatever it is. So I go back. Checks me all out. I said, can I get rid of these pipes? He said, no. He says, unfortunately, we took an ultrasound. And he said, there's no way that you can empty your bladder. There is just no way. It'll never happen. So you're going to have to do this for the rest of your life. So I'm sitting in front of him, and I said, okay, doc. I said, out of all your patients, have you had any of them ever get back to normal? Oh, no, he says. Maybe 1 in 1,000. One in a million. I said, that's me. 1 in 1,000,000 is me. I'll take it. That's good. That's perfect. I believed God could heal and set me free from that plumbing, but it took close to 3 years. Every day when I had to do that, there was instruction. So 22% of the time I was listening. 78% of the time I was believing for the impossible, according to the doctor. 1 in 1,000,000 is not a good number. Did you hear this before?
No.
I didn't think so. I got a lot of stories, you know. Yes. So, about 8 months, doing 3 times a day, Holy Spirit said, you can cut back now and you can start sitting and I will allow some of it to come out. Well, that's a relief because you're tearing your body every time you go in there. Okay? So, long story short, I now am doing it once in the morning and one at night before I go to bed. In the afternoon, I sit, and sure enough, I'm able to go. Not a lot, but some. He said it would never work. That, to me, was a signal things are working. So another 8-9 months go by, and I heard, you can skip the evening now. Oh. That's going to be a big relief. Once a day is a lot better than 3. Don't laugh, you.
Oh, I've been there. I understand.
So, long story short, I go with that result. And I had a checkup at that point. And I said to him, to the doctor, same doctor now. I said, I'm only doing once a day now. And I told him what I told you. I said, God's on the job. Oh, he said, God bless you. And I knew that was total unbelief. Okay? Because just the way he said it, like, yeah, right. Okay? Because their attitude gives them away. Okay? So, long story short, but another 7 or 8 months, I go back again. And now I am totally free. Because the Holy Spirit had told me that I didn't have to do it anymore. I would be able to sit in the morning, sit it in the afternoon, and once before I go to bed, and I would be fine. But you have to be examined and have an ultrasound before you can actually see your doctor. Right or wrong? Okay. Okay, Smiley over in Canada. So, I'm, you know, the nurse is doing her thing, and obviously, you know, and she goes, uh-oh. And I thought, oh, my God, that's not a good uh-oh. I said, what did you find? She says, there's none in there. Whew! Now, you see the unbelief? It showed up because I would believe the negative quickly. The positive was a probability. I'm related to Abraham. I switched gears. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I go in to talk to him, and I tell him what happens. Oh, he says, that's really wonderful. But now he's got ears to hear because he's watched and he's seen an example. When you heard the voice of this young woman talking about her grandmother, what happened? Something came alive, right? There was a connection. You know that that's truth because of the actions and reactions. So you can read the signs. So again, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham, and I can add Kim, believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. I got to hear an amen here.
Amen.
Okay? He took God at his word. I believe that God could recreate that bladder, and he did. And even when I had a major surgery again a year ago, he told me, oh, you're going to have to probably, I said, no, thank you very much. We're not going in reverse. We'll do what we have to do. You do what you have to do. God will finish what he started. And I still don't have to go with that material. He took God at his word. Do I take God at his word? Some of you are. Some of you are learning. And some of you are pushy.
You look at me?
Pushy. What do I mean by pushy? You go and you believe for a while and then you find that your soul pushes out what you're supposed to do. You're fighting back. And I did the same. I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not at the fullness yet. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. I'm not the father of many nations, but I am an example to those that are hearing the word and let it come to pass for themselves. God's declaration over him came to pass. Now, your descendants, this is a prophetic word that God gave him. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. I thought, oh, wow, that's good. That is good news for him. What about you and me? How many do I minister to? How many do I give life to? How many do I encourage? How many change their attitude when they're on the phone with me? How many can I slip into a belief system that they didn't operate in yet? Okay? So, in spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the facts that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. So now you've got facts and you've got truth. Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, told him he was going to have a son. That was the truth. But the facts are his body's not matching. When I was struggling trying to get free from all that plumbing issue, I had facts and I had truth. I chose to go with the truth. And when Holy Spirit spoke, because I'm one of the sheep and I hear his voice. Try that on. Close your eyes right now. Say, I'm one of your sheep.
I am one of your sheep.
And I hear your voice.
And I
And I'm not going to do like Joe, to the best of my ability. I'm not going to argue about a glass of wine and driving. In Jesus' precious name, I will believe and I will receive this very day. There's a change happening right now. Hallelujah. Again, I'm going to read this part because you need to hear the details. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong. Is your faith strong? It will be if you declare it. It'll never be if you think it's baby faith. Say ouch. If it's baby faith, it's a good starting point. But it's got to go. It's got to grow. It's got to mature. It's got to be you believing the truth rather than what you are watching or seeing. Okay. That it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. So he had to rehearse this truth inside his mind. Wow, I'm getting stronger. My body's getting better. I know that I'll be able to function. Praise God, I know that it's going to work. There is a future for me. That's what faith is. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Mark 11:24. If you don't believe, you'll never get it. Okay? And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise. That's another aspect of believing. Okay? He was convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise. How many of you have got promises that have not happened yet? Well, then close your eyes and put one hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus,
by your Holy Spirit,
I do have faith.
I do have faith.
And I'm convinced,
that God has all the power
needed to fulfill the promises he's given to me. And God's going to get happy with me.
Because he got happy with Abraham.
Because it brought glory to God. Hallelujah. So heart, get a clue. There's so much more of Jesus in there. And I'm believing. That his power, is at work in me to bring about a future. And I will be honored by my Father God. Because he likes it when I believe. He likes it when I believe him. And he likes it when I believe the promise. Even if it hasn't showed up yet. Hallelujah.
But it is coming.
I like that one. 22. So now you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to his account as righteousness before God. See, God looks at you and me in every decision we make. And he's responding to it. But sometimes we are dead set on our own idea. And I'm not blaming you because I already gave you the numbers I'm dealing with. And I mean, it is what it is. Now, it's a work in progress. I'm still under construction. Got it? 23. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. How do we get involved? Because we are sons and daughters of Abraham, the man of faith. Pretty good. So now that promise that God was happy with Abraham means He's happy with us because we also believe and accept the truth and walk in it. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. How clear do you want it? Again, 24. But also over us, not just for Abraham, but for his kids. For when I believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Say amen.
Amen.
I receive.
I receive.
That righteousness makes God happy. And he imparts it to me. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. So the resurrection is proof that the Father was happy with his Son, that he paid everything that we ever owed. He paid everything on our behalf. Even when we argue, he paid for that too. That's relief, isn't it? Now tie on your seatbelts. Chapter 5, verse 1, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to me. Ponder on that. My faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to me. Because I just changed a couple words there, but you get the meaning, right? Okay. Say, my faith,
in Jesus,
transfers
God's righteousness
into me.
And he now declares me
flawless in his eyes. So from God's perspective, I'm 100% obedient. From my perspective, it's 78:22. Why? Because I need an adjustment, don't I? Okay. The adjustment is that I will be more quickly adapting to what he says for me to do so that I can go 23, 27, 29, 35, 45, 75. 100. And it will get to 100. I love you too. Again, I want you to just listen. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Now, there's a footnote that I want to share with you on this. Having already been declared righteous, what bliss! We are declared righteous in the eyes of the Holy God. This is the wonder of grace. You wonder what grace is? It's getting God's opinion on your case versus your opinion about where you are in your walk with God. So the transformation comes when we believe what he says about us rather than what we perceive or what we've tried to figure out or reasoned. See, reasoning can get me into trouble so fast. And that's a level of darkness that we don't realize sometimes how much we do of discernment on our own selves. So when we take his opinion, we get a brand new outlook about who we are in Christ. Say, I'm on my way to 100% obedience. Because God has already transferred his righteousness to me.
His righteousness to me.
And he has declared me flawless in his eyes. I've got to get a vision of that. Say ouch to the soul. And hip hip hooray to the spirit. You got that one, right? Some of you tasted that one. Yeah. Okay. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God. He's not mad at you. Wow. He's not even angry at Joe. How about that? He's not angry at you, John. You're off the hook. All because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into his marvelous kindness. So that kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. Woohoo! Hip hip hooray! Got it? What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. Now, Gail knows about hope because she's been trained by it. So you can see the progression. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, would anyone dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight." So because of his blood, I've been declared righteous in his sight. He's our papa. Say, he's my papa. He allowed his son to die on that tree to erase every sin from me. It's time I believe it. And I believe that he did not make a mistake when he came out of that grave and he rose from the dead. He released his spirit in me. I'm a new creation. The old died. The new is rising. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself. Reconciliation. The footnote on that one is this. The Greek word verb for reconciled is actually exchange. That is, he exchanged our sins for his righteousness. That, take it to the bank. And it will draw interest every day. and thus reconciled us to God. The reign of death is caused by the guilt of sin. That last part is extremely important. The reign of death is caused by the guilt of sin. When the accuser is accusing you, you download, you go down, you start losing your vision of God's grace. Right or wrong? But when you find that he actually took my place, when he went on that tree, it was him taking our place. So again, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son. Then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more we will be rescued from sin's dominion. I could go on, but I believe the dominion of sin, the control tactics of sin, have been disintegrated in many. The levels are not that important. What I believe is we're all at different levels on our walk with him. And that closing statement, and even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. The gift of grace is another subject, and I don't want to go there right now. I believe that if you concentrate on these little bits of God's incredible revelation, and you allow that to go inside your heart, there's a change that will take place. And you'll start looking at yourself with God's agreement. He sees me righteous, therefore I am righteous. If he already paid the price, I see myself without sin. So I go from a sinner to a saint. Cool, right? And in fact, you can prove that because the letters that Paul wrote are written to the saints. They're not written to sinners. So Paul is writing to the church full of saints. We're the saints from Chicopee or Western Mass, if you wish. It's awful quiet in here. Are you catching on? I want to back up to verse 9 again. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight." The NIV says, "Because of the blood, I have been justified in the courts of heaven." Same message. I'm going to ask you to put your right hand over your heart again. Say, Holy Spirit, I want this truth to be really mine. Because it is the truth. But the darkness would like to erase it. My soul would try to adjust it. To make it fit my emotions. Because that's where I used to live. Do I get an amen on that one? But I don't live dour anymore. I'm a saint now. I'm under construction. And I'm getting smarter and better. And I'm believing that I'm a daughter and a son of Abraham, the man of faith. That's it. Any comments?